I was born and raised in Port Lavaca. I was the prodigal that came home. I was born, in fact, in the hospital up here on Virginia Street, but it's been remodeled since then. I went to high school in this school building behind us. That's before the new high school was built 50 years ago, 40 years ago, something like that. I was baptized in that baptistry right there. I sat at the feet of many, especially of the ladies of this congregation, and I got my first knowledge of the Bible right here. I got my understanding of faith right here. I got my understanding of love right here. And even when I was preaching in Bowling or Houston or Palacios, that's amazing. I've only preached for four congregations in over 40 years. When I preach for those congregations, I still let people know Port Lavaca is my home congregation. I moved here and started preaching here in July of 2001. And I hope that this is my last pulpit. And as long as I have been here, I have presented one consistent and constant message, and that is we are family. This is the family of God. We are just as much the family of Jesus Christ as we are the church of Jesus Christ. We laugh and we cry as a family. We argue and fight as a family. We get over it as a family. We agree and disagree as a family. We are the family of Jesus Christ. We are His family in this particular locale. You see, the church is not a place. It's the people. We say we come to church, but we come to a building. We are the people. I know most of you were raised with the little saying, as was I, this is the church and this is the steeple. Open the door. No, we're the people. We're the church. This is a building. We have a lovely, beautiful, well-maintained building, but we are the church. Now let's segue from my introduction into the sermon itself. Once upon a time, a family had moved into a new congregation. And on the very first Sunday they were there, they had done a little research. They found the address of a congregation, and they attended church the very first Sunday that they were there. Well, on the way home, they asked their only son, very small young man, they said, "What did you think about the congregation?" He said, "The Bible school class was wonderful. The singing was good. But the commercial was too long." Obviously, he was talking about the sermon. The commercial was too long. Well, as you know, I don't give long commercials. But what I say tonight is as important as anything I have ever preached while being the preacher for this congregation. I want us to take a few minutes tonight and talk about the concept of belonging. Everyone needs a place to belong. We need a place that we feel safe. We need a place that we feel comfortable. We need a place that we can appreciate. It's like that old pair of blue jeans. They're just part of us. Or that old flannel shirt that you just want to put on because it's just part of us. We need to have that feeling. We need to belong. Now, the word belong in the King James translation is used 48 different times. The first time we find the word is in Genesis chapter 40. This is where Joseph has interpreted Pharaoh's dream. But in verse 8, he says, these are God's interpretation. They were coming through Joseph, but they were God's interpretation. Well, brethren, this church belongs to God. You and I belong to God. We need to feel safe in that. We need to feel comfortable. We need to appreciate that we belong to God. We need to be comfortable in that understanding. And since God is our Father, then we are all brothers and sisters. And we need to feel comfortable with that. We need to appreciate that. Brethren, that's the way Christ designed the church. He didn't design the church for us to be a lot of lone rangers. He didn't design the church for us to be a bunch of hermits. He designed us to belong to Him, and at the same time to belong to each other. That's the way He designed us. One of the very few Greek words that I've encouraged all of you to remember and use is that Greek word koinonia. It's defined or translated in the Bible as fellowship, but more than just a word, it's sharing. We need to share each other's lives. We need to never feel alone. We need to feel like we are family. But I read an article on the internet just the other day, and I agree with the man, and I think you will too. He said, America has become a nation of strangers. I believe that's right. Some of the things he said, I don't know where he got his statistics, but he said that between 4 and 6 Americans claim that at some time in their life, right now, they feel lonely. And he also said, and I agree with this, he said, we as Americans relate to the soapbox character, not soapbox, soap opera characters, I don't watch them, to the daily talk show hosts, to the actors that play in the comedies or the dramas that we watch on television. We relate to them closer than we relate to our own neighbors next door. Brethren, everywhere you look, there are signs of people that are hungry to belong, a place to feel safe, a place to feel comfortable and to appreciate that. I ran across one of the sweetest stories I think I've found in many years. There was this sweet old lady that every week she went to the post office. She would stand in a long line and she'd buy 2 stamps. Next week, there she is in that long line and she'd buy 2 more stamps. And one of the postal clerks was trying to be nice and he said, "Ma'am, you don't need to do that. We have a machine out there. You can buy a booklet of 20 stamps all at the same time." She said, "Yeah, but that machine doesn't ask me about my arthritis." And then sometimes people feel that way. The Bible is filled with metaphors talking about the concept of belonging. Yes, the family is the one that is most used. But in Ephesians 2:19, some translations refer to the household of God, but newer translations talk about the family of God. We're part of the family of God. I wish we knew that song better so that we could sing it more often. One of the most beautiful songs in our book says, "We're part of the family of God." Now, a moment ago we segued from introduction to sermon. Now we're going to segue into one of those commercials that the young man was talking about. Brethren, we have in our midst, not nearly as much on a Sunday night as on a Sunday morning, but we have members who have affiliated themselves with this congregation that have just never given us an opportunity to let them feel like part of our family. They slip in, they slip out, they never come to our fellowships. They have not given us an opportunity to make them feel like part of our family. Now, we're not going to fuss at them. We're going to fuss at each other for not going out of our way to make them feel like part of our family. And And if you don't feel like part of our family, though you're already affiliated with us, please get to know us even better. That's what fellowship is, sharing each other's lives. I would be glad to sit down, talk all day long about the wonderful things that have happened in my life. And I would love to listen to the wonderful things that have happened into your life. That's what sharing is all about. If our brethren on Sunday morning that have never allowed themselves to be seen as part of our family just don't know what they're missing, we need to let them know what they're missing. In Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, Solomon is talking about the same thing we're talking about. He uses two different illustrations. I really like one. I'm not so crazy about the other one. The illustration that he uses that I like, he says, if you're out working in the field and you're all by yourself, and if you fall down and hurt yourself, there's no one there to help you. But if you're working with a friend, they can rush to your aid and help you out. I like that illustration. The other illustration he uses is if you're walking down the street and you meet a gang of thugs, if you're by yourself, they're liable to beat you up. But if you're with a group of friends, they will probably leave you alone. I like the first one better. Brethren, I know that if physically I fall down, which I have done, people are going to help me up. You are going to help me up. And I know that if emotionally I fall down, and I've done that too, I know that you're going to help me up. And if I spiritually fall down, which I haven't done, I still know that you are here to help me up. There is benefit in numbers. Strength is in numbers. When Mary and Martha's brother died, Jesus was there. When Peter stepped out of the boat and was walking on water, and when he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink, Jesus was there. Solomon's principle is accurate. We need to be family. We need to be friends. I'm going to read from another translation. I do not endorse this translation, but I do endorse the way this translation translates the verse that I was referring to. Two people are better than one because they get more done working together. Brethren, that's true. Two people, at least if they're skilled together, can get a whole lot more done than one working by themselves. And a congregation can get a whole lot more done working together than we can do by ourselves. There is strength in numbers. As you know, Peanuts is my favorite cartoon strip. I especially like Lucy. I don't know why, but I especially like Lucy. You remember she's the one that pulls the football away when Charlie Brown is about to kick it? Lucy came into the room and her little brother Linus was watching television. And she picked up the changer and just changed the channel. And he said, "Lucy, what gives you the right to change that channel?" She said, "Well, it's just like this. I have five fingers. When they're working independently, they're not very strong. But when I roll them together into one unit, they're a force to be reckoned with." And brethren, the application is true for us. If we work individually, we're not going to get a lot done. But working together, we are a force to be reckoned with. And now another section of our commercial. We have a group of members here, and really most of them have come in the last few years. We have a group of members here that are just frothing at the bit, if you're familiar with that phraseology. They're ready to go to work. They want to plan, they want to do, and all they need is a little bit of help. And we've got members that have been here for 20, 30, 40 or more years that still desire to work. They're ready. They're ready to plan and work. They just need a little help. They just need a little encouragement. They just need a little participation. And brethren, all of us should be eager to participate. Think about the first century church. It was a hodgepodge of Christians from a variety of backgrounds, various cultures, sometimes conflicting views, but they worked together for unity. And their life was changed, and history has been changed because of their unity. Had the early church not worked together as one unit, the church would have never made it out of the first century, but it did. Now we segue to point number two. Many times this congregation has announced that someone is ill and confined at home. Perhaps they're anticipating surgery. Perhaps even worse, there's been a death in the family. And we always say something like this: we need to lean on each other. We need to be there for each other. Now, brethren, please don't take this as bragging. This is the truth. I have never in my life known a congregation that loved each other more than this congregation loves each other. This is the most caring congregation I have ever seen. I don't do this often either. Since I've been here, I lost my father. I lost two sons. Had cancer surgery. And even my wife said, "Shan, how do you do it?" I said, "Because of faith." And it's not just my faith. It's your faith that you've loaned to me. And I will pay you back. Jesus said, "I come to bring you peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world."